Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have Linda O'Neill on the show. Linda is the founder and creative director of Stand Tall Jeans and is a tall woman who has faced the challenge of finding stylish and long enough denim for herself. Driven by this personal struggle and inspired by her father's entrepreneurial spirit, Linda transitioned from a successful career in banking to pursue her passion for fashion. After earning a master's degree in management and graduating with honors from the San Francisco Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, she founded Stand Tall Jeans to address the market gap for well-fitting, fashionable denim for tall women. Based in California, Linda is dedicated to creating high-quality, stylish pieces while upholding ethical and sustainable production practices. This was so much fun to talk to Linda. It was so much fun getting the opportunity to talk to Linda. We talk about all things jeans, including some side topics around fashion, production, and self-esteem. If you happen to be a tall woman or you have a tall woman in your life, you'll be happy to know that in the description of this episode, there is a discount code for 20% off plus an extra 10% off if you sign up for emails. Please look in the description below for that. And I believe today is the last day you can order if you want it to arrive before that December 25th deadline. So check it out if you're interested, and please enjoy my conversation with Linda.
Blessed to infiltrate the pod waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best! Fresno's best!
Linda, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
Okay, so I just recently found this spot called Saison. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
No, you got it right. It's great. Yeah. What do you like to order there?
So I like to go there with, of course, a group of people. The company's always great to share a meal with. And then we get these little platters that a mixture of all of that just makes the most sense. And you get so full very quickly. But I don't think I have a favorite yet. Because everything was really good when we went there. Everything was really good. At least the things that we ordered.
Yeah. I think my favorite thing, and this is in part because my partner she wasn't an oyster fan before. Mm. And I did the grilled oyster thing with her at Saison.
She
is now addicted. So I'm forever grateful because I've always been an oyster person. She was always questionable about the texture. But when you grill them, it's just butter and some meat. So what are you gonna do, right? There's so many things I want to talk to you about. I haven't really had a chance to talk about the fashion industry with anyone. So, I would say I'm a neophyte, but I have a lot of interests adjacent to it that I don't want to dig into. But first, I want to do some background questions with you.
Please.
How many languages did you speak growing up?
Ooh, that's a good one. Believe it or not, I went to school in the UK for a little bit, about a year, and I took Spanish, but I cannot speak a word of Spanish. Okay. So that gives you an idea of how languages don't stick with me. I grew up in Nigeria and in Lagos, Nigeria, and we have a plethora of languages, three of which are like the official languages. I'm from the Igbo tribe, and I speak that. I can get along with that. So technically two languages, English and Igbo.
Okay. Yeah, because I've read about there's so many languages in Nigeria, and I also read that they're regionally concentrated. So unless 100%. You're in a certain place, it's not all that useful to you. In your home, were there other languages spoken other than the language you mentioned?
Nope, pretty much English and Igbo. However, one of my sisters got married to the Yoruba tribe, and she can speak both Igbo and Yoruba and English.
Okay, you think that Nigerians' confidence comes from?
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh man, that's a hard one to answer because it's almost like you're born with it, right? Yeah. Like when I grew up in Nigeria, I did not have an ounce in my bone to feel like I don't belong somewhere. Like just by default, you walk into a room and you own the space. It's just one of those things that like, why not, right? Like it just doesn't come to mind for you to be able to be like, to cower down or to shy away. You just show up bold.
What do you think is the most common lens that comes from growing up in Africa and specifically Nigeria that that changes how you perceive the United States. I'm curious, is there something that like is either done differently here or a specific lens that Nigeria gives you that kind of changes your perception of the US?
Oh, the word that comes to mind is perspective. Because of how I grew up, I see things differently. That when I moved to the US, almost 20 plus years now, I move differently because of where I come from, right? I don't take things for granted, and the opportunities that were afforded to me here in the US compared to when I was growing up, I was able to take advantage of them and excel almost because of that background that I had in Nigeria. It's one of those things where it was hard to go to school and be and excel at it because of the struggles that came around going to school. Like, fortunately, my family was able to take my sisters and my siblings and I through college and so on, which, by the way, college was like the baseline of school that you had to go to. And I'm just using education as an example because that's what comes to mind. So when I came here, or when I came out to the, I went to the UK first before moving to here, I was able to go to a postgraduate program, and it was easy because the resources were just there, and you had but to show up and take advantage of it. And that's what I did, and hence excelled. And I say that because my perception was such that if these resources are available to you and you show up and take advantage of it, you're able to get the results that afford that came from that. For me, it was more perception and just showing up and doing what I had to do.
Fantastic. Nigeria will come up later when we talk a little bit more about food, but I want to talk now about making decisions. Lots of people want to pivot in their lives and their careers, and I'm not seeking advice here because I think
For sure.
sometimes advice is overrated in some respects because it doesn't account for our specific circumstances. But I'm curious for you, when you're thinking about this big decision, which oftentimes pivots tend to hinge on money versus passion. And how you evaluate the worth of each of those variables in your decision making. So can you talk to us about, it sounds like you had a stable career in banking.
I did.
How do you think about pivoting? And what were the variables you considered in that decision?
That's a great question. I'll back up to give you some context, right?
Okay.
My dad, he was instrumental in starting a bank in Nigeria. That's one of the top banks that's still going strong today. So growing up, that's always been around me. That's always been just my default. So when I moved to the States, or growing up also, I did not know that I had options as far as any other career, creative-wise, least of all, to pursue. And so it's either you were going to be a professional in my household, a banker or doctor, engineer, that kind of thing. And I just knew it didn't come naturally to me to want to be any of that. So I loved people. I want to work with people. I'm not sure in what capacity. And so when I transitioned, when I came here, it was almost, I just walked into a bank and I said, this is who I am. This is what I want. Here's my resume. I need a job. And I got one. And that was my entry into the banking section in the US here. And I grew into retail banking in retail banking. And I also transitioned into treasury services as well. So within that field, I was doing well, but I'd maxed out in my capacity to function in that regard. And so I knew I wanted to do more. I knew I'd reached a point where it had to be more than just a career. It has to be more than just a paycheck coming every month. And so it was a lot of soul searching, was a lot of digging deep to figure out what I wanted to do and where my passions lie. And so I made a list. That was my process, and work through what I like to do, what moves me, what kind of makes me get up at in the morning. And it all surrounded around fashion. I just didn't know in what capacity. And so while I was in banking, I took time off just to research a little bit. And I did a fashion design degree at the FIDM school in San Francisco. After I did that, I knew I wanted to pursue this. So, naively or not, perspective, right? After I finished the degree, I jumped into entrepreneurship and started a brand on my own, separate from what I'm doing right now. And that took a dive very quickly. That didn't do too well because there were so many things looking back now, that I don't want to say I did wrong, but because I learned from that. I don't like to use the word failures or mistakes because everything happens for a reason, and you get to learn from all experiences regardless. And when that packed up, because I burnt out really quickly, I did all the things by myself. So when that ended, that season ended, I decided to go back to my banking career and I was, the world had shifted where it wasn't really a suits and tie kind of situation to go to work, especially in banking. I could wear more of a informal wear. And so I did, I was looking for jeans and I was like, excuse me, how do I not know? How do I cannot, how, why can I not find something that works for me that weren't high waters, as the word is the term I've come to know here, as jeans that don't fit right. And it was almost a light bulb moment for me where I was like, hold on, there is a need, and I have a fashion degree. Let it make sense. And that's how that moment happened back in 2019. And so I started the journey to research and find out how I can make a difference in this arena and not just be another fashion brand. Because in the fashion world, you're like season after season, you're putting out collection and collection. I'm like, that's a lot of work. I want to be able to be intentional about what I'm doing and really meet a need and be a solution to a problem. And that's how it got started.
What do you think is your most transferable skill from your work in banking that you still use today in this new field?
Everything. Money management, number one. Because we're self-funded as we are today. And so being able to navigate the resources to get our business to be up and running and to make sense, we have to make really strategic, solid decisions to stretch that the resources to make it make sense for us, for our business the way that it is. So we have to have like tunnel vision. I'm learning a lot not to be distracted by everything on the social medias and the things like that people are doing, because everyone's journey is different. You got to focus on what your business is doing, where your business is, and how you can move that forward and not compare it to what another brand is doing. Oh, they're doing this, you're doing that. That's okay. Your journey is different. And the people that are coming along with you are getting on that journey with you. So you don't have to, if we want to use the word pivot, you don't want to pivot too quickly and not carry them along. You want to be able to grow and let the people that are coming along with you grow as with you as well. So that's one of the big skills that I would say has transferred with me, as well as customer service, because I've been on the other end of the shopping spectrum. So I see how people, how they feel, right? When you're shopping, and if something is not met, if a situation is not satisfactory, how to deal with that and how to handle an irate customer, or how to handle a customer who's satisfied across the board. Service is huge for us right now as well.
Okay, let's jump into a few specific questions I have about jeans before we talk about your approach.
Please, favorite topic.
So let's say, because this has happened, I walk into Target and I buy a $30 pair of jeans. What am I actually buying? What's my $30 getting me?
It's getting you a mass-produced pair of jeans that's not necessarily tailored to your body type. That's what it's getting to you. That's what it's getting you. A really basic standard pair of jeans that's just meeting a general need. That's what you're buying from there, because of course it's a big organization. They're getting mass-produced products out there. There's not much of a concern for how it fits on you or the target customer. So what we do is a whole lot different in the sense that we are a little bit more targeted, and we are aggressive about making sure the fit works for our tall girls.
Okay. And if I buy a mass-produced pair of jeans, what do you think the lifespan is on that versus like a more higher-end designer jean, something that's made for my body, if you will?
That's a great question, because a mass-produced pair of jeans, it varies, because I've been on that end as well in my journey to find good pairs of jeans. They can last you up to 6 to 9 months, maybe a year, right? Depending on how often you wash it. Because again, washing, as I found, of denim, it eats into the lifespan of the denim. When you wash it inside out, the dye as well in the denim is also taken into consideration, that it chips away at that, which also chips away at the lifespan of the denim. So there's all these factors that go into it. Worst case scenario, you get a, oh, best case scenario, you get a 1 year lifespan out of the denim.
You literally guessed my next question, which is how often do you wash your jeans?
Ha. I had this question online when it was asked, and my response to that was, Rob, you want to wash it at least 10 to 15 times in between washes, let's just say, right?
Oh, really?
And
Wow.
yes,
Okay.
sir. Yes, sir. Like, it's denim is, and again, it depends on the denim, right? It depends on the quality of the denim that is used. We work with a lot of premium denim, and so you can get a lot of wear out of it in between washes. You certainly don't want to wash it too often. Again, it's down to personal preference, because people always want to wash their, or sometimes want to wash their jeans. Every time I wear it, I wash it. Every time I wear it, I wash it. Not recommended, but again, it's down to personal preference.
I do have this rent. I don't know where I got them from, but I've got this pair of jeans that I feel like it I like the way it fits after I've recently washed it, but like two or three wears, like it starts to balloon out like a little parachutey. What's going on there? Is it something I'm
So
doing?
that's
What?
no, it's just the way the denim fabric works as a whole, just in general. So denim will, when you wash it and you put it in the dryer, the heat shrinks the jeans to its natural state. So that's why whenever you wash the denim and you put it on, it's like this snug, really nice fit on you, and it feels really great. It has that effect because of the heat through the wash. So after a couple washes, it of course, or even through the day when you wear it on that first day, it will expand just because it's the natural state of the fabric to do. So it's not anything that you're doing. It's just because of the heat and the way the denim fabric itself works.
Got it. Those pants are going to last long. How do you think, and why do you think clothing affects our mood and our attitude? So.
Oof, that's a good one. Okay. So this I know from personal experience, right? Clothing will affect your mood. First of all, how you present yourself to the world matters. A huge part of that is what you put on the outside of your body, right? Half the time, it's a reflection of what's inside that you wear on the outside. That's already showing you there's a connection between your clothing and the way that you feel. If you feel great, you will want to look great. And in looking great, you step into a room or you walk into a space and you automatically ooze a certain level of confidence and a certain level of, I want to know who that is. And that's the way clothing affects your mood, because when you look good, you feel good. And when you feel good, you can take on the world.
What shouldn't I wear with jeans?
There's a lot that you can wear with jeans and very few things that you cannot wear with jeans. It's styling, and that's a styling question, because how there's in my world, I don't put rules on clothing, right? You can mix and match colors and prints depending, of course, on your skin tone or your body type, but like a lot of factors, right? But there's very little limitations I like to put on people. Like when I have a styling session with people, I tell them, try it on first. Let it tell you what it's trying to tell you when you put it on. Don't put a rule on it saying, for instance, there's this rule that I love to debunk. Don't wear white after Labor Day. Please do. Please wear the white. Please wear wear the print over the print, because it's how you style it and what you make of it that makes it make sense. You're the driver. You're in the driver's seat of how you put your styling out there to
Okay,
the world.
got it. This question might get us both in trouble, but are too many people wearing leggings too much?
Yeah, it's a sticky one. I'm not a huge
What
fan.
do we do? How do we
I
even
get
talk
in
about this?
trouble
Or what
with
do
my
we?
sisters. I
Yeah,
get in
yeah,
trouble with my
yeah.
sisters on this one too, because leggings, ooh, they
They
are
haven't
not
they kind of
pants.
haven't they they've become the new jeans a little bit in some
L
ways,
and I
right?
hate that. I will boldly say that out loud. Leggings are not pants. Leggings and not jeans. Leggings should not be worn as pants or jeans.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
That's a
Give us your kind of like your manifesto, please. Like, why should leggings not be worn as pants?
So, in my opinion, very humble opinion, leggings should not be worn as pants or jeans, because there's a place and time for those. Leggings are like if you're going to yoga or workouts and so on and so forth, or if you're wearing leggings, there's some legging fabrics that are a little bit of a see-through situation.
Yeah.
So you don't want to wear them as top as pants in that regard. If you wear leggings and you want to go out with in leggings, you can dress them up or style them in a certain way that are that is decent. You know what I mean? Because I have seen personally wear leggings worn as pants or jeans. You wear a short top that doesn't go below the hip or just doesn't give you enough coverage, and it looks a little messy. In that regard, that's a no for me. So you want to style them if you have to wear the leggings because it's convenient, it's comfortable, you want to throw it on and drop the kids off of school, go to a quick grocery run or whatever errands you got to do. There's a decent way to style them and wear them in a way that makes sense. But do not use them as your go-to for jeans or pants. It's a no.
Where do you think we're at? Do you think we're getting better or worse in this category?
It's a 50-50 at this point.
Okay.
I don't see, I haven't seen the needle move so much in one way or the other. It's just we're smack in the middle there on that one. I wish it would stop. I wish.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this. And this is really going to lead up into your company. Let's talk about some of the challenges in finding pants. I'm married to a woman, I've watched her struggle to find pants in so many places. She's short, so maybe not exactly your perfect client, but I've watched her struggle. Who are clothes made for these days?
That's a good question. Who are clothes made for? So there's two parts to that. Clothes are made for humans, right? That's a given. However, on the other hand, You could say that clothes are made for people that have that wish to express themselves. People that have an expression or have a point of view or have a voice to speak up and to speak out with. And your clothes do that for you in more ways than one, right? If I walk into a room with a power suit on, you know that you can perceive the kind of person that I am. If I walk into a room with slacks and just a casual looking outfit on, you can perceive what kind of person I am. So clothes are made for people who have a statement and have a point of view and who have and for different areas in sectors of their lives that they're in, stages of their lives that they're in, right? So at the end of the day, they're making clothes because different brands represent different kinds of people or targeted people that they're trying to reach. So in that regard, they have a certain lady in mind that they're trying to meet or a guy in mind that they're trying to meet when they're designing their clothes. So they have a story they're already telling themselves as they're putting together their storyboard of designs. So it just depends the kind of person they're trying to meet. Clothes are meant for people that are going somewhere, people that have a point of view and people who want to express themselves in whatever regard. So there's a market for everybody.
Okay, let's maybe for men listening, let's describe a women's journey to find a good fitting pair of jeans. I've watched my partner go through this journey and how time consuming it is, all the returns involved. So, could you just map out what that actually looks like, how many stores you think people have to go through, and all that kind of mess?
It starts with a Google search because when you're looking for jeans, at least and this again, something that I've experienced. My sister is a tall, so it's across the board, something that we've all unanimously seen. You go into a store, I'll start with the downside. You go into a store, you come out feeling dejected, you feel unseen, and you feel sad because you cannot find jeans that work for you. Imagine your partner, for instance, she's going into a store and she's, oh my God, I got all this money to spend. I'm gonna find a good pair of jeans. I'm gonna feel great. And you go into a store and it doesn't go through. It's not working. That's very sobering. You go back home and you start to look online for options. When that Google search comes up and you're looking at seeing all the different styles and different options available, different sizes available, we have to now become informed shoppers, right? Because we read that little fine detail. What's the waistline measurements? What's the inseam measurements? What's the hip measurements? We have to know all those in order to be able to find at least something close to an exact fit that we can use. And yes, the returns are part of the online shopping experience because most of those are not sold in stores. At least when I've gone into the stores to find it, like, just try it on for fit and then go online and purchase it. Because they already know it's not going to fit me, but they want you to get a feel for it, and then you go online and purchase it, and the whole return thing starts back and forth. It's an unfortunate piece of e-commerce, but it's something that is part of the whole process of shopping. And when you find that gold mine of a pair of jeans that works, you'll be married to that brand for life. Hopefully, they'll be around for life too.
So I've noticed trends in jeans, both in my partner and people that I see, that there's been a move towards more baggy jeans or larger jeans. Do you think that's made it easier for women to find jeans, you think, with the kind of
Yes and
the
no.
okay.
Because again, to what we were talking about earlier, it's a styling choice, right? There's this new trend that's called the barrel, a barrel pant where it's like a little curved in the center, and then on the outer sides, it's like really wide or really curved on the outer parts. It's not for everybody, right? It's a good trend, it's a good style. Will it last forever? It's unclear. We're yet to see. Some of the trends that have been around for forever that, in my opinion, are staples are more of the straight cut, the boot cut, and the wide leg jeans. Those three, I believe, will be around for forever. Those are not trends. Those are like staples. Those are like you. Every woman needs to have at least one of those in their wardrobe, if not three of them. Everything else after that are more of a trend. And then you have the ones with the slash, like the tears on the jeans, and all. It's gone crazy now, but it's a trend for a sect of people that are loving it. And it's not going anywhere either. It looks like. So to your question, it seems like trends will come and go, but the staples will forever be here.
I've learned the term capsule wardrobe. I was taught that. And so now I
Yes.
know it. Last question before we move to another section. Do you think, from your point of view, and I know you don't work in this industry, but do you think the world of like dress pants for women is equally as fraught as jeans? Or do you think that world is a little less?
If I was to make an educated guess, I would say that the dress pants will always be needed, because there's a space for that. There's room for that. So I don't know. I don't believe that's going anywhere. If anything, we need more of that because the jeans world, you have your staple that you want to have some dress pants for the right occasion. When that moment comes, you have a nice dress pant to have. Like when you're building, to your point, a capsule wardrobe, you definitely want to have your jeans and your dress pants as your staples to have in your wardrobe that you can build upon. And of course, in my opinion, there's some colors that you definitely want to have: the black, the dark blues, and the grays. And then you can build up on those. So when you have those colors sorted out, then you can add fun colors that you can play with, because not every season or not every day they can wear like a yellow or a red pair of pants. But you can always wear the blacks, you can always wear the blues, you can always wear the grays.
I say that today as I am sitting here wearing brown wool pants. So it's whatever. We're gonna jump to my favorite section, which is called overrated versus underrated. I'm gonna throw a bunch of things
Oh.
at you. You tell me whether you think they're over or underrated and why. All right.
Okay.
The first one, Burna Boy, over or underrated?
He and overrated.
Overrated?
No,
Why?
I take that back. He's underrated.
Okay,
He is
underrated.
a fire one. I love Burna Boy. Of course, he's my guy, right? I cannot say too much about. He's underrated. Like he is the bestest of. His dude is killing it right now, and so definitely underrated. We need to talk more about him. He needs to be on the Grammy stage for sure. And yes.
Okay, next one, jeggings, jean leggings, jeggings.
Those are overrated.
Okay.
Why? Because they are glorified leggings.
Okay. So it's just leggings
Yes.
in disguise from your point of view.
Yes.
Okay,
Yes.
gotcha. Next one, fast fashion.
Overrated.
Okay.
Fully
Tell
overrated.
us why you dislike fast fashion.
It's overrated because you, again, I don't want to diss it too much, but there's room for it. Yes. However, you spend too much money and you get very little quality. Yeah. I mean, I'm working with some folks who they ordered something again in the world of fast fashion. It came in wrong. You can't even get to the service team. Like, it's over. It's no.
Okay.
If you can avoid it, do.
Gotcha. So recently I don't know how this happened. You're sitting on the couch, you've got a drink, and everyone's asleep, and you turn on some stupid movie. I was rewatching the early Fast and Furious movies, and it was peak low rise jean. Are low rise jeans over or underrated in your mind?
In my mind, they're way overrated.
Okay.
Because to me,
Not a
they serve
fan.
zero. Nope. They serve zero to no purpose for me. However, I will caveat that with it depends on your body type and your style. Because maybe because I'm in the world of tall, curvy women, low rise,
Yeah,
not working.
makes sense. All right, next one. And you may have had this, you might not have. Me and Ed's Pizza.
Oh, I haven't had it yet, but I've been
Ooh, you're
seeing it
my
around.
first
I
guest who hasn't had
know.
it yet. That's amazing.
I
That's your
know.
homework assignment. That's your homework
There
assignment.
you
Okay.
go.
Okay, next, jollof rice.
Oh, that's a big one. It is the best rice you will ever taste.
Okay,
I
I've had it a
promise
few
you.
times, but describe it for people who haven't had it.
Jollof rice is a Nigerian staple. It's like red rice made in a tomato-based stew, and it's the seasoning is what makes the difference. It has all this gorgeous aromas that is added to it, and it'll change your life. It's literally life-changing. Mouth-watering, life-changing. When done right, you want to try jollof rice.
Okay.
It's the
How
best.
so growing up in Nigeria, how often was that on your dinner table?
Almost on a daily basis.
Yeah, because
Great.
I'm reading this great book about the history of Chinese cuisine, and it's talking about southern China where rice is more of a staple rather than northern
It
China.
is.
And it was talking about essentially how your meat dishes, your vegetable dishes, they're supposed to be like things that you sprinkle on top of the rice, if you will, but the main feature is the rice. Is jollof rice
Yes.
similar in that respect?
Very much. And in our case, though, all the meat options are pretty much a part of the situation. It's as important as the rice itself. It's one is not more important than the other. So you have your jollof rice, you have your meat options, and you have your plantains, which make it up. And if you're really fancy, you have moi moi, which is like a bean cake. That's the best way I can describe it. It's made out of beans, and it's just all together heaven.
Okay. The next one's not over underrated, but either or. Levi's or Wranglers?
Oh, I have mixed feelings.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. But for purposes of this, I'll take Levi's. Oh,
Okay. Yeah. Is there a reason
disgruntledly.
why, or just they're similar enough that just choose one?
Yeah, in my world, in my mind, as you say, they're similar enough. I would go, in reality, I would go neither option.
Okay. Next one, pepper soup.
Ooh, which one? There's fish pepper soup, there's goat pepper soup, and then there's, of course, the regular pepper soup. So
I've
there's
only
a lot
had
you can
fish
do with.
pepper soup, but
Oh
am
my
I missing out
gosh.
on some others that I should know about?
Absolutely. There's goat pepper soup, and then there's the ones with the cow leg and assorted meat pepper soup. So we have quite a few plethora of options that you can choose from. So pepper soup is definitely a yes that you want to try if you're looking for Nigerian cuisine.
What's your favorite type of pepper soup? Goat? Okay.
I love goat. Yes, with skin, not without, with the skin.
Gotcha.
There's a difference.
Next one.
Lake Merritt
People
with
like to
that.
walk around in Oakland. They just walk in circles.
Yes.
Do you liked
I do. Yes.
it? We could skip. Some of
Because
these are just way the fuck out of left field. Please,
no,
by all
I
means.
say yes because the last time I think the last time I was there was with my brother and my husband, and he was there with his wife to see a friend, and so he came out to Lake Merritt and he called my because I used to live in, I told you before, in Brentwood. And so
Yeah.
we drove out there and we all met over there, and it was quite the experience. I'm not mad at it. We took a stroll and then you had like artists performing, and it was a vibe. I'm not
Yeah.
mad at it.
Do you miss living in the Bay Area?
A little bit here and there, and it's more so because I was used to it. So it's not because one is better than the other, it's just familiarity. So since moving out here this year, I'm just now starting to like, okay, I got a home here, I'm settling in. Ask me in a year, we'll see. It'll be more pre the preference will be different. So it's just familiarity.
Okay, last one. Suya, the Nigerian
Ah,
kebab. Over underrated.
yes. It is underrated. That is a cuisine that is a must.
Yeah, yes.
I can't go on enough about it. There's the regular, that's the beef suya, there's the chicken suya with gizzards and fun pieces of the chicken thigh, not necessarily the other parts, but it's yes, it's a yes. And you have to have it with the raw fresh peppers on it, as well as some onions and ooh, yes. True story. My then boyfriend, now husband, was what we had an argument back because we started dating in Nigeria, and we had an argument back then. And he, to apologize, came to my house, my parents' house, with 300 naira worth of suya. That's like a big old, like a whole lot of suya. I'm like, oh, you sorry, aren't you?
That's fantastic. All right, we're going to jump into some business questions now related to the fashion industry. So, what percentage of women are tall, kind of according to your category? Do you have a sense of the size of your market and where does tall start for you?
So tall for me starts at 5'9" and up. But then as I've gotten deeper into this world and in all of my research, to your question, globally, I found a statistic that said that there were over 200 million tall women that stand at least 5'9" and up globally. And it's also down to your torso versus your inseam. Those words matter to me. Why? Because you can be 5'9", 5'11" with a long torso and a shorter inseam. However, if you have a shorter torso, you have a longer inseam. So it's not so much so the height sometimes, it's more your proportions body-wise. So that's why in as a tall woman, most of us, we have to know what our statistics are. We have to know what our numbers are as far as our waist and our inseam measurements and our hip measurements in order to be able to shop smartly, in order to be able to shop with expert as an expert, really, right? Because tall women is being tall is subjective. You can be like 6 foot tall, but you have a 34-inch inseam, right? And in the fashion industry, the standard inseam for tall, it stops at 35-inch inseam. I am more leg, and so I need at least a 38-inch inseam to be able to wear heels and not feel like I'm wearing high waters.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the manufacturing side for a second. If I were to start a fashion company tomorrow, what do you think are like the two or three most important things I should understand about that particular side of the industry?
Know your numbers, work with trustworthy, hopefully a referral, and find a good source or a good supply chain for denim fabric.
Okay.
Those are the three top tier things that you want to have under your belt because your source of your denim matters. We have a side of the manufacturing piece called jobbers, and the jobbers get from the mills the denim fabrics that are no longer in production. However, when you start making your samples and the jobbers give you a piece of denim to try to make your sample, and you go back to purchase to make your production, they're out of stock, and there's no longer any source of that production. So get your supply chain in order to be able to have a good source of fabric for you to be able to start to be able to have denim for production. And then work with a team that is tried and tested. I like to go with referrals from people in the industry because you will be cheated. It's unfortunate part. It's an unfortunate part of the whole situation. You will be it, because people will promise and underdeliver, and so a referral is always the best. A best.
We referenced this next point a little bit ago, but it's become a societal problem. And I don't know if it's necessarily specific to the fashion industry, but a lot of places, which is returns. I watched like a, I think a, like a 10-minute kind of documentary video about some of these return warehouses that are popping up. Amazon will send return items there, lightly used, gently used, where you can't sell them as new. When you're thinking about operating a business and recognizing that every return involves a shipment and all the things that go into it, how do you make those numbers work in a culture that's so used to being able to return anything for any reason?
Yeah, and literally going through that as a new business myself, right? Because returns are as much as we don't like them, they are part of our world, and we have to always work with them. And I'm very fortunate that my husband is a finance guru. He helps with our forecasts and our and getting our whole financials together to make it make sense and also accommodate for returns, because we include it into our costs sometimes. And when we have sales and stuff, and that's why we are particular about what channels we sell through, because all of that would eat into your profit margins, right? When we think about returns in our world, at least as I know it, we certainly want to be able to accommodate that in our pricing. It's because it's just part of our world. You can't run away from it. It's inevitable. It will happen.
Yeah, it's a new baseline and there's no escape. The other kind of thing that Americans have come to expect is free shipping for anything these days. You better ship it for free. So that basically the same question again, like how do you think about, because I saw on your site today it said free shipping. How do you think about
We offer free shipping.
how does that cut into your profit margins? How do you think about accounting for that? Like what kind of pressure does it put you under as operating a business and guaranteeing free shipping? So just if you could expand on that.
So fortunately, we launched with our site that helps with this shipping situation, right? Because I think they have some kind of partnerships with the major carriers that they're able to offer us shipping really affordable rates in order for us to not to necessarily pass that cost onto our customers. At least for me, that's the way I'm looking at it. International shipping, that's a whole different story. It's really hard to accommodate that. So our international clients will have to at least pay for shipping. But for the US, we want to have that as a perk in order for you one to get to know us and not have you have that pressure of having to add on to pay for shipping. So we accommodate that and give our customers that as a perk, right? Because we certainly want you to feel special in when you make purchases with us.
Do you think generally p Americans pay enough for clothing?
That's a subjective one, right? Because in my opinion, I feel like because as a shopper myself, I used to save up my coins in order to buy something that was worthwhile. So if I see it as worth it, I will pay for it, right? And that's how Americans feel about shopping, because you might see something that's $20. I'm like, that should be more. Or you might see something that's cost this much, and you're like, why is it that much? So it's definitely perspective, and depending on how you worth or how you see the worth or value in an item, you would pay for it. So that's really a subjective kind of question. It's not really anything where I would say people pay too much. If you, depending on your background and where you're coming from, you see it as worth it, you pay for it.
Yeah. And I think I would also dispute my own question and provide a nuanced answer. But I think in a similar way to food, Americans are used to really affordable things, either whether that's subsidized through our government or whether that's subsidized through really cheap labor costs in other countries. I think there's the reality that they're just used to low prices. And I think that I don't think how that eventually hurts them in the long run doesn't really compute at folks. But that's a
So
whole different.
that's the idea of your perspective, right? Because you see the long game, you see it differently, and you see it as worth it to pay that extra dollar for maybe an organic piece of
No,
food
that's me.
item.
That's me. There I go. Elitist and out of touch. All right. Next one. What do you think is your most underrated jean or cut on your site? What jean do you wish, oh God, people need to order more of this. They don't even know.
Great question. So we launched with two different styles. A slim fit and a slim boot. The slim fit style is more of a tapered cut, and the slim boot style is a little bit of a, not a bell bottom, but it's a little bit of a boot cut, right? And it's, in my opinion, your standard, our standard, our take on standard styles that are classic. And I feel like the slim fit is one style that I feel people are sleeping on. That's one look that is a go-to. It can, both of them can be dressed up and dressed down. We offer them in three style, three colors that I feel are your basic colors. We talked about this earlier, where you want to have your baseline colors down. So if I'm thinking, because when I was designing these, I was thinking about the woman who wanted to create and start to build her wardrobe in denim. And so when you're doing that, you want colors that are your baseline colors before you start to add your yellows and the greens and the reds. So you have, we came out with the blue that I call fancy blue. We came out with a black that I call dark night and a white that is a forever night. Those are the three colors that I feel like you can wear all year round. You can wear it with things that are in your wardrobe right now and build on those. So don't sleep on the whites and the blacks and the slim fit jeans.
Yes, I love my lighter jeans. It's not white, but I for a long time I just had like the darker. I had a black jean and like a darker blue jean, like a navy jean, and
Yeah.
I'm addicted to my lighter jeans these days. But yeah, that's a whole that's per So, can you do you mind sharing maybe one or two? Because I've seen in my household and friends when they've struggled to find jeans and they finally find their fit and they feel safe. Do you have any stories that you could share through operating, either feedback you got?
Yes.
Because I think that's the most beautiful
Yes.
thing. Because I think sometimes people are like, fashion, it's superficial or whatever. And it's
It's
not because it's so deeply connected to our sense of self-worth and self-esteem
oof. Yes.
that like to ignore that and to hover over it because it's something, it's a material object. I feel it's absurd. And so I would just
Yes.
love for you to share a story or two of someone that found success in finding
Oh
something
my
for you.
God, I have two that come on top of mind for me. And I'll start with the first one. I met this lady through a referral, and I literally did a house call for her because it's just my vibe, right? I want you to be able to, it's an experience that you're going through when you come to Stand Tall Jeans. And so with that, we were able to try on a few pairs because, again, different brands, different sizes for people, right? This is a lady who had a challenge finding jeans that worked. She's about 6 foot tall and of course inseam for days, and she'd never found the jeans that worked for her. And so I come in with this trunk of like jeans, let's have some fun. It's just jeans, right? And so we tried on a few sizes and a few pairs, and once we locked in on the one that worked, the look on her face, the satisfaction that it's like, oh my God, I'm not alien because I have long legs. I have clothes that look good on me. That's our why. That was that moment that I was like, this is why we do what we do, because it's beyond just I'm wearing a cute pair of jeans or whatever. It's how it made her feel in that moment was what drives us. And she actually posted a picture about it. And I was like, because it was like, she's fabulous. Why not flaunt that, right? So that's a beautiful story that I love to tell all the time because I just love how it, without saying too many words, she just lit up. And it was because she knew she looked good and she loved the way she looked. And a second story would be actually with a guy. It's a service that I offer on the side where I style people. It's part of our thing where if you're not necessarily looking for jeans, but you're looking to put pieces together for yourself, I guess I would say that I have a gift where I can look at a body and I can put you together in clothing. Give me an open space in a house. I have no idea what I'm doing interior design wise, but give me a body and I can show, and I can certainly put you together in a way that makes sense for you. So this is someone who is transitioning from one stage of life to another, never been shopping since high school. And I'm like, let's just go try some clothes on. Take the pressure off. I'm like a buddy at this point. And we go try on clothes and just, again, purposeful. Like he's all posing at this point and feeling himself. I'm like, that's the human that has always been in there. You're wearing sizes that are a little two sizes too big for you. You're wearing clothes that are like not making sense for the world that you're in because you're transitioning to the corporate life. You're doing things that are like mature in your life. Let's make that look good for you. So this is what the clothes are speaking to for him in that season of his life. And it made a world of difference. Again, like you said earlier, clothing is not just we're putting fancy stuff on. It's a representation of who you are to the world. You are an ambassador of yourself. Let that make sense to people when they see you, because it does affect how people treat you when you go outside.
It's true. It's the facade of your house. It's your LinkedIn account. It's your it's everything. It's how you present yourself. And I mean, I think some people can get absorbed in it in ways that are unhealthy, but I think generally we all want to present ourselves in a certain way. Now, I
Oh
have a
yeah.
couple Fresno questions.
Oh, Fresno.
How would you describe Fresno's fashion sense? It's okay to laugh. It's not, you
It's
know,
too laid back for me.
it's
I'm
hit
not
or
gonna,
miss.
it's very laid back. That's the best way I can say it. 'Cause it's not that I'm not used to laid back, but it's real chilled and laid back and very, I'm not putting too much effort here. I don't need, or I don't maybe want to put too much effort. That's the kind of vibe I get. Not that's bad, it's just different.
Yeah, it's definitely a vibe. If you were forced to shop for clothes anywhere in Fresno, where would you start?
Still shopping around to see what's up,
Yeah.
but the Fashion Fair Mall, it's giving me good vibes right now, I would say, because it has a few options. It has places that you can go try on stuff. So I would start there, at least in Fresno, if I was to start somewhere.
What do you think about Nordstrom Rack? Do you have thoughts on Nordstrom Rack?
I do.
Okay, please tell me.
And Nordstrom Rack, like most bargain brands for big conglomerates, are, it depends on the location, which is, and I say that because I've been to parts of a city that has a rack that I'm like, I didn't see that in my other knife over here. Location matters when you're doing the Nordstrom Rack. And that's one thing that is, maybe it's a personal thing for me because I prefer for you to be able to find good stuff, period. If you're going to the rack in here versus here, it should still, in my opinion, be the same. But I just don't like the fact that you find lesser quality one place versus another.
That is terrible. It reminds me of my partner and I love quote unquote scavenger hunting at grocery outlets. Because you find all sorts of interesting things in there. A friend of us gave us a, they call grocery outlet gross out, which I think matches. Yeah. But yeah. But then what the kind of the downside to that is you end up spending so much more time looking through things you don't need for the one thing you want. And if it might not be there, then that's tough.
I will say though, don't sleep on TJ Maxx.
Okay.
They do have some gems in there. I do like to peruse the, you will have to search a little bit here and there. You have to dig a little and do some work, but don't sleep on TJ Maxx. They do have some gems in there.
Okay, I'm gonna totally throw my partner under the bus and she'll probably be really upset that I said this, but she totally has a TJ Maxx credit card. It lets her in for, yeah, no, she is very smart. She knows what she's doing. That's, I'm
You
lucky.
go.
Okay. So I know you're relatively new to Fresno, but I ask everyone this question, and I, because I'm always curious how what we do in our professional lives affects the way we see a city. So how does you working in fashion, how do you think it affects the way Fresno?
Me working in fashion, how does it affect the way I see Fresno? I came to Fresno, again, that's a different story of how I came here because it wasn't on my radar, but here we are, and it's giving me work-life balance. And I like that. And I'm able to do what I do because of that work-life balance. And that's the lens in which I view Fresno as a space where, because literally, before I transitioned to do this full time, I was still in my corporate job when we moved here, and it was a whole lot of travel, a whole lot of work. Our home was more of a stop
Yeah.
gap almost. It's been very good to have that feeling of a work-life balance situation since being here and doing my business full time. So that's what it's giving me right now.
Okay. We're going to close with my favorite section, which is book recommendations. Do you have a few books you'd recommend to listeners?
I have one specifically, and I had to write it down because I didn't want to get it wrong. It's
Okay.
called Positioning the Battle for Your Mind. And it's a, I listened to the audio version of it. And this book, being an entrepreneur, it helped me, right? Because, and it's by Al Reese and Jack Trout. And I recommend this because I was listening to the audio version of it, having worked in retail and banking retail, and then doing e-commerce. It's a very different ball game of how to market to people and how to position your business for it to make sense to your audience. So that book helped me see it different through a different lens, right? Because you have to understand from the person on the other end of your laptop or the end of a camera, how they're perceiving your business, how they're experiencing you. It's a whole thing. Like in a brick and mortar, it's very easy to like get all that right and have that human connection. However, in a world where everything's on online, It's a very different ball game, and that book helped me to make it make sense in my mind in order to position our brand hopefully well for people to experience us differently.
Perfect. To close, this episode's going to air on Friday, December 13th. It's a little less than 2 weeks before Christmas time when lots of people are going to be shopping. How do they find your jeans? Buy them? And do you have any special holiday things going on? Just give us a,
Absolutely.
yeah, give us a little kind of preview or promo.
Yes. So Stand Tall Jeans is our brand. It's basically standing tall and jeans. And our website is standtalljeans.com. We are on all the socials at Stand Tall Jeans Official. And we are offering a 20% deal off of every full price item, plus 10% off if you sign up for our email listing on our website as well. So it's going on through the end of the year. So we are very excited. The code that's needed is STJ. I don't know. I can send that over to you if you want to
Absolutely.
use that. And so we're excited to just have people experience us in the Fresno area. And I believe it's the Fresno, Clovis, Madera area. But we certainly want people to experience us and know that we are here and open. And we would love to meet. If you're able to connect with us, send me a DM. I will be personally responding to those to answer any shopping questions you'll have. And that's one of the beautiful perks about our locally based business is we can come to you or we can answer your questions by DM, and it's very seamless in that way.
I will confirm Linda's great with her DMs. I slid into her DMs. She slid into mine. We were fantastic.
Yay.
And now, if people are going to order something before the holidays, what's the ballpark of when they should try to order if they wanted to get there by December 25th?
Today. You want
Today.
to order? Correct. You want to order today because the shipping notices are starting to come up where there's delays here and there. So we certainly want you to be able to get your pieces sooner rather than later.
Perfect. Linda, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
My pleasure, Jordan. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.